Welcome to A Spirit-Led Life with HMI. Stay tuned for an anointed word by Pastor Stephen Hockey. We hope this session builds your faith. Enjoy.
All right, let's get into the word today. I want to speak about five things we must remain aware of, or five things every Christian needs to remain aware of in their walk with the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about five things to do as in you need to pray, you need to, fast, you need to read worship. The word, you need to worship. I'm not talking about those things. Those are, in my opinion, many times so obvious.
Common sense,
it's common sense as a Christian, you need to do those things.
Yeah.
You need to sow and all of that. But I'm not speaking about that. I want to speak about five things that we as Christians need to remain aware of in our walk with the Lord so that we do not get distracted or we do not sway off the road. Because it's so easy for these things that I'm going to be speaking about to literally take us off of the right path that we are supposed to be on.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not talking about the basic things. I'm going to talk about some other things that we need to just think about, pray about. Even if you can, pray about these things when you go into the secret place. Pray about these things daily and for the Lord to remind you and to get you to that place where I'm thinking about these 5 points every day. Not just sometimes, every day I need to think about this stuff. Now, point number one is this, and I don't know how far we're going to get today. We'll see how far we get, and then we'll probably end up going on with half of the rest tomorrow.
Amen.
Number one is purity. Now, if you can comment purity, I'd love to see that in the comment section. Purity.
You need to touch some people this morning.
In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, it says this: "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." We have to keep our hearts pure. Purity is crucial in the time that we are living in. We are living in a filthy, a dirty world.
Yeah.
And we as Christians cannot conform to the standard of the world. We live on a higher standard, a standard set by God. I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but I don't really care, because God set a standard in
That's
His
right.
word, and it
That's
is
right.
called moral living.
Amen.
Now, we have to remain pure in the Lord. What do you mean, Stephen? Well, there are three areas that we need to remain pure in, and I'm going to get into these in depth now, but there are three areas. We have to be pure in heart, you have to be pure in thought, and yet you have to be pure in deeds.
That's
and
right.
a lot of people, as soon as we speak about purity, they immediately jump to sin and they jump to the deeds. We're going to get into that. But I want to start off by the purity of the heart. Because if my heart is pure, the rest will follow. For me,
Absolutely.
That's common sense.
Yeah.
A dirty heart will produce dirty thoughts and produce dirty deeds. So the first thing we need to cleanse is the heart.
Come
Where
on,
does
good.
God live? He lives in the heart. You invite Him into your heart, and that's where He makes His dwelling, inside of you and me. So if I have Jesus living in my heart, I don't want to create a dirty home for Him to dwell in.
Absolutely.
I want to create a clean home for the Lord to dwell in.
Absolutely.
And if we look at what's going on in the world today, how can I, as a Christian, not step into purity and not walk into purity if I know Jesus on the inside of me?
You know, the first thing that happened to me when I got saved, the first conviction that hit me when I got saved was purity.
Exactly.
Because I knew that there was stuff inside of me that was wrong and filthy. And a repentant heart just changed that immediately.
Exactly.
And I got rid of stuff that I knew that was impure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a supernatural thing. People don't understand this. If you're not born again and saved, if you haven't really accepted Jesus, then number one, this point that Stephen is speaking about is not going to mean anything to you. But I think everybody who gets truly born again and you receive a holy God to come and live inside of you. And the Bible now says that your body is the temple of God.
Yeah.
You need to start changing your way of living.
Yeah, and I believe every Christian or every person that gets saved, the moment you get your heart, give your heart to Jesus. Now, I'm talking about true repentance. I'm not talking about emotional conversion where people go to the front, they give their hearts to Jesus, and then they go straight back into the world and nothing changed. For me, that's not salvation. It's salvation when there's change. True repentance has fruits of repentance. You can't just come to the front and say, I believe in Jesus now, and go straight back into where you were. I don't believe you ever believed in Jesus.
Right.
All you did was try and get to heaven, and you try to find a quick way into heaven and not go to hell. Now, we understand, the moment I give my heart to Jesus and I truly repent, I'm in true repentance, I take on the nature of God. Remember, I always use this illustration. If the day I get saved, it's like a seed is planted within me, and that seed begins to grow. Eventually, it becomes a tree, and eventually, it begins to bear fruit. Now, imagine that tree is the nature of God. As I'm growing in God, I take on the nature of God, and I start taking on His characteristics, because my identity is being built in Him. My foundation is the Word of God, and if my foundation is the Word of God, I'm going to start turning more and more. I'm going to start looking more and more like Jesus every day. If my walk after the day I get saved turns more and more like the devil, I have not yet received purity inside of me, which means the nature of God is not established within me, which means I am not truly repentant. I haven't given my heart to Jesus fully. I haven't committed my life to Jesus fully.
Yeah.
But the day you get truly saved, you repent to the Lord, you allow that seed to grow within you, and then you'll start seeing, without you even trying, it comes with a repentant heart. God is going to start changing you slowly but surely. For some, it's a quick change, but for some, it's a slow change. And if there is a slow change, then I'm saying good. Because God, you're turning slowly and slowly. The nature of God is being revealed in you so that you can reflect Jesus to the world.
Amen.
And that's what happens.
Amen.
Now, again, it's all in the heart. Matthew 5 verse 8 says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I love that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many Christians do we find that say they don't hear God, they can't see God, they can't experience God? And then my question is, go back to the heart. What is your heart like? Because my Bible says the pure in heart shall see God. Now, if I'm not seeing God, if I'm not experiencing God, I have to go check my heart. What's going on inside of me?
Yeah.
Because it starts, my blessing, here it says, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Those are the blessed. Those are the ones who can experience more of God. Those are the ones that you'll find, then you hear of them, and you hear they go into the prayer room, and it's encounter after encounter. They speak about the tangible presence of God, and you find a lot of Christians like, you know, they're just so like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never experienced that in my life. Get into the presence and allow the Lord to purify your heart so that you can start seeing God in everything. I'm not talking about physically, even though the Lord can open our eyes physically to see Him. I'm talking about seeing and experiencing the goodness of God right here on earth. We don't have to wait for heaven one day. You can start experiencing God right now. But the enemy knows. Satan knows how to, I want to say, trigger you.
Mm-hmm.
Satan knows how to cause you to become impure, to get an ugly heart. He's very clever at what he does. He knows all your shortcomings. He knows all your weaknesses. And he's not that person that's going to look past that. He knows exactly where you struggle, and he's going to keep knocking you in your weakest areas because he wants to try to get you impure so that you cannot experience God. Because the more and more I don't experience God, when push comes to shove, I'm going to say, well, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to try something else. And that's how Satan has won over so many people, is because they have never changed their hearts and turned to God. And they've they've surrendered to the triggers, to the plans of Satan, to the snares of Satan, the traps that he has, and not surrendered to God to purify them so that they can be strengthened in those weak places in their lives.
And the scripture says the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. Yep. So the devil is, listen, until we die or Jesus comes, he's never going to stop tempting us.
Yes.
Never.
Yeah. He won't
he's
stop.
He's always out there putting a snare out to capture us, to catch us in something. So we have to be very vigilant in our walk with the Lord.
We have to keep this thing pure. Keep your heart pure. Don't let it be contaminated. Don't let it be made corrupt, but keep your heart pure in the Lord.
Amen.
Psalms 51 verse 10 to 11 says this, a very famous portion of scripture. Yeah. And the psalmist writes and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. There's a reason he prayed this prayer, because he had a revelation that the blessed, that are the pure in heart. They are the ones who see God. Yeah. So the psalmist cries out and says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Amen.
And this is sad. If we look in the opposite rule, when we read the Bible, you can work in opposites. What happens if you don't have a clean heart? What happens if you have a dirty heart? The opposite of this verse becomes your reality.
Yep.
The presence of God leaves us and the Holy Spirit will depart from us. So I have to ask the Lord, Lord, keep my heart clean because I want to remain in your presence to be able to see you. And I want your Holy Spirit with me so that I can be able to taste and experience your goodness here on earth. Remember, this is what I say. These are things that we as Christians need to be aware of. It's not just reading my Bible. It's not just praying. It's about, Lord, keep my heart clean. Because there are pastors in the pulpit that read their Bible every day and pray every day, but their hearts have become corrupt.
Sure.
Because they didn't check their heart. They didn't check their spirits. They didn't check themselves. And before you know it, you become dirty on the inside.
Yeah.
And that eventually gushes out of you. The dirtiness on the inside eventually it comes out and it is seen by other people. You can't hide it forever. So I pray like the psalmist, Lord, create in me a clean heart and do not take your presence from me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me and create a steadfast spirit in me so that I can stand strong in you all the time. So Lord, pray that. Don't give up. Don't just surrender to these things, but pray and ask the Lord to help you so that even in difficulties, even in pain, I find it so amazing, and this might seem harsh, and we all go through stuff, but that one thing that happens in our lives, and this always blows my mind, how something terrible happens to people and they turn away from God. How can one terrible thing that happens in our lives turn you away from the presence of God? No, we have to stand strong. There are people in the Old Testament that went through horrific things. But if you go check them, you'll find that they never turned away from God. No matter how bad it got, they stand strong in the Lord. I cannot, because if I have a dirty heart, it is easy to turn away from the Lord when difficult times comes, when pains come, when loss comes, whatever it is, when these things come, I cannot lose my steadfast spirit. I cannot become weak. I cannot allow my salvation to be lost because something bad happened to me. God remains good all the time.
Amen.
If I face something bad, if I go through a difficult thing, it doesn't matter. God remains good. God remains faithful. His word is yes and amen, even to the end. And whatever I go through, God is number one in my life. He remains number one in my life, no matter the pain, no matter the disappointment. Jesus Christ is number one always. I don't turn from him. And a pure heart will always put God number one.
Amen.
A pure heart will stand strong. A corrupt heart is easily manipulated. I'm going to say that again.
True.
A corrupt heart is easily manipulated. That's why I'm a Christian one day, I'm a sinner the next. I'm a Christian one day, I'm a sinner the next. Then I believe in God, something bad happened, I don't believe in God again. Now I go repent again.
Yep.
Now I believe in God again because things are going good. something bad happens, now I'm angry at God again. No, yeah. My friend, it cannot work like this. I cannot be manipulated by Satan all the time so that I'm in this back and forth motion. I'm never moving forward in my walk with God because I take two steps forward, I take two steps back, I take two steps forward. So you're just in this same pattern all the days of your life. And we don't want to walk this way. So I need a clean heart, and I have to remain aware of what God is doing, who He is all the time, so that when the enemy does come and he throws a couple punches, because he will, and if he does land a couple punches, I don't care. I'm going to keep moving forward, and I'm going to keep serving God, no matter what.
Amen. You know, I just, as you're talking, I have this picture of a gangster, a gang member.
Yeah.
You know, a young guy who gets sucked into the gangster world.
Yeah.
And he comes maybe from, you know, his parents were maybe God-fearing people and serving the Lord, but he gets sucked into the excitement of gangsterism. He gets exposed to the exciting stuff, which is bad. Yeah. Don't misunderstand me, but let's talk about maybe robbery or theft or the luxuries of having a lot of money and the girls and all of this stuff. And then, but there's this constant fight, you know, of I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know I have to get out. And the moment he turns to go to the good side again, you know, to get back and try and get out, then the gangsters suck him back in, like Satan draws him back in with even greater temptation. So come on, let's do this. You're going to hit the jackpot. You know, you're going to get something more. And that's the way Satan works with us. He'll continue to suck you back into his system by giving you false promises. And try and show you the falseness of what he sees, the devil sees as good. But in actual fact, it's going to bring destruction to you.
And that's, so again, remember, I'm speaking about the heart. I mean, I haven't even got to deeds yet. I haven't even got to thoughts yet. No, I'm just speaking about the purity of the heart. And the problem is when people go through a lot of difficulties and bad things happen in their lives. And again, everyone faces things. But you need to keep your heart pure. I cannot allow bitterness to enter my spirit, and I cannot allow unforgiveness. And I mean, the list can go on with things that can pollute our hearts. But I want to focus on those two.
Yeah.
Bitterness and unforgiveness will corrupt your spirit. It's going to poison you on the inside. Yeah. Bitterness is, I want to say, literally, how can you put this? It's crippling. People that walk in bitterness every day of their lives, they cannot experience the joy of God. They cannot experience the peace of God because they're always walking with hatred inside themselves because of something that happened in the past. The bitterness is keeping them from moving forward. Bitterness is, I want to say, it's almost like murdering in your spirit, and you want to murder. I want to say it's the baby version of murder. That's bitterness. Because I cannot let go of the pain of the past, and I'm holding on to it. So that's when a topic comes up, and it always triggers you because it is bitterness that is dwelt on the inside. And bitterness, I'm going to say it, it's the silent killer. It's the baby version of murder, because it always drives me to hatred, and it always drives me to unforgiveness. It always drives me to have feelings towards a person that is not of God. And if I have these feelings, what did Jesus say? If I just hate someone, I've already committed murder in my heart. And bitterness leads to that. And if you find that things of the past are always triggering you, and it's the same thing, you are sitting with bitterness in your spirit. The baby version of murder. That's what I'm going to call it. And you need to get your heart clean. If things of the past are still irritating you, if things of the past are still hurting your feelings, you have not let it go. You have not died to self yet, because Jesus doesn't come and every time he tells, you know, a story comes out, he doesn't remind you of your past. He doesn't get upset with you because of something you did in the past. It doesn't matter how bad it is or what it was, be it finances, be it sin, be it jealousy, whatever happened even in your life. God doesn't keep reminding you thereof. And if we walk this walk, and if something triggers us and it always brings up past feelings, I haven't died to self yet.
Yeah.
And I have let bitterness take root in my heart, and I have to be very careful because it has corrupted my heart and I no longer have a pure heart.
I think, Stephen, that you're hitting the nail on the head, because the question now would be, how do you deal with it? How does somebody deal by saying, I've given and yet I'm still struggling, and I've forgiven and I'm, you know, it keeps coming back. How, give people a practical way to overcome this.
The way to let go of bitterness, the way to let go of pain, is by giving it over to the Lord, by putting it at His feet and leaving it at His feet. If those emotions continuously come up in your spirit, you have not given it over to God yet. Because God takes burdens and God takes them from you. If you're still walking in it for 20 years, you've never surrendered it fully to the Lord, because He takes it away from you. If God heals me from something, He takes it from me. I don't go and take it back every day. And that's what people do. They go and they take back the thoughts. They go and take back the pain. They go and take back the heartache. They go and some people have become so accustomed to bitterness, it has rooted. It has literally rooted inside of them. So I have to uproot that bitterness. And that's why a lot of people need deliverance from bitterness. You need to have people pray for you. You need to have the pastor lay hands on you and get the stuff out of you. You have to go. A lot of people do sozo. Go clean your inside out and get the stuff out. Go pray. Go ask the Lord to clean you constantly, daily. If the thought comes up in your mind, if someone speaks about it, you ignore it. Don't entertain it. That's what I find a lot of people do. They build up the negativity. They build up the bitterness. And the moment it is spoken about, it gushes out of them. And that is a clear sign that they have not yet let go of the past pains or the past hurts or betrayals, whatever it is that bitterness has done or that caused bitterness within you. I have to surrender it to the Lord. I have to go put it at the feet of the cross, and there it has to stay. Even if someone brings it up, I leave it at the cross. I don't let my emotions build up inside of me when it's spoken up about, you know, brought up again. I have to, in that moment, be strong in my spirit and just, I don't even know what you're talking about. Even if you're busy, even if it's in conversation, it's, the Lord has saved me from this. I'm not gonna get upset. I'm not gonna let this thing ruin my day. I'm gonna say, Lord, if someone speaks about it, yes, it's a past, and the Lord has touched me and healed me from that. And there's no reason to speak about the past. It's as simple as that. Don't bring up the past. Amen. There's no reason to bring up the past. Amen. I hope that helps.
Yeah, and you know, listen, for some people it's easier than others.
Yeah.
But we have to remember this. James 4:7 says, submit to God, number one. Submit to Him. Surrender to Him. That's what Stephen's saying. Mm-hmm. When you take your problems and you give it to the Lord, you leave it with the Lord. That's submitting to God.
Yes.
And then He says, submit to God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. So there will always be a time when Satan is going to come and remind you of the past. Even I myself have to deal with this constantly, where Satan will try to push that button, you know, and remind you of something of the past. And if you don't deal with it, like Stephen said, at that point of time, and I'm just, you know, I'm speaking practical stuff that even I myself have to do, because I find if something triggers me and you say something, you know, you need to immediately ask the Lord, I'm sorry, you know, forgive me, Lord. Deal with this. Take it out of me. And eventually the healing comes, and eventually the breakthrough comes, where then, as Stephen said, you know, people are going to talk to you and say something. You're just going to say, you know what, yes, but that doesn't affect me anymore.
It doesn't matter. What happened in the past happened. We don't deny what happened. It's there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't give me the right to always bring it up, or the right to entertain that pain when it does show its face. I have to, you know, there's always that saying, a dead man cannot take offense. A dead man cannot walk in bitterness. You can use it to anything.
No.
Because that is, we as Christians, if I'm still walking in these things, did I really pick up the cross? Or did I pick up the cross And did I pick up bitterness with it and say, well, you know, I let go of all the other things because, you know, I don't take offense. I'm fine with that stuff. But then you walk around with bitterness. Then you haven't died to self yet. So I have to continuously search my heart. Father, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit that I might not walk in bitterness, that I can forgive as you have forgiven me, to let go and to not be ruled by the things of the world, but be ruled by the past. Now I'm going to walk in freedom. I'm going to walk with the right state of mind and the purity of heart every day.
Yeah.
Check your heart.
Hey, guys. This is good stuff that we're learning this morning, a reminder of how to stay pure. Imagine this, if Jesus is holding a grudge against us.
Yeah.
Imagine that. He was going to be allow the devil to remind him of how he was crucified and ripped apart and beaten. Yeah. And, you know, Jesus not holding those men accountable who did it, but holding all mankind and says, you know what, came out of love to die for you, and yet every day you stab me in the back by turning your back around, you know, not praying, going to church, serving me, loving me, you know. I've given everything. Thank goodness that the Lord can look past that, forgive us. And just to continue through love, that's the perfect example of love, right?
And if you really cannot, and if you really struggle, I don't believe anyone cannot forgive. That's a lie. You know, everyone can forgive.
Absolutely.
If you call yourself a Christian, you can forgive.
Amen.
Because it's a part of the nature of God that is inside of you. I've seen it too many times with people. I can never forgive that. What that person did to me, I can never forgive. My friend, if you live in that type of mindset, you will not make the kingdom of God.
I don't think you're saved.
Yeah, I don't think you're saved because you have to take on. And that might seem harsh and offensive, but go read Matthew 18. Go study Matthew 18 and you'll find how serious God takes those who cannot forgive after he has forgiven us. Walk in forgiveness. Die to self, surrender it to the Lord, and you will be free.
That's the
recipe.
And
before you know it, you'll find peace and you'll find satisfaction in your heart if you can walk like that. Mm. Amen. Let's go on to point number two with impurity. So we have purity of the heart, which we spoke about. And now we have the purity of the mind, because this is, we all know, the battlefield of the mind. This is where God speaks. This is where Satan speaks. This is where your thoughts are. And this is where a lot of stuff is happening in your head before it turns into deeds or whatever. This is where communication takes place, is in your head. This is where ideas form. This is where vision is birthed. It begins in your head. Now, I have to keep my mind pure if I want to be able to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if my mind is impure and I'm listening to Satan all the time, when God speaks, I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to make sense of it. How many people do we hear that God doesn't speak to me? I never hear God speak to me. Clean the mind, because you're more focused on the voice of Satan than the voice of God. You've become so accustomed to his voice that you've cut out the voice of God in your life. And I say this so many times. God is always speaking. The question is, are you listening? Are you in tune with God when he is busy saying something to you? Too many Christians do not know the voice of the Good Shepherd. I find that heartbreaking when a Christian, someone that's been saved for 10 years, say, I don't know when God speaks to me. How do you not know when God speaks to you? You are a child of God. Every child knows the voice of their father. And I know, if you're a baby Christian, maybe you've been saved a couple of weeks and this is new to you, then I say, okay, that's fine. Go pray and start learning the voice of God. But if you're telling me you've been saved for 10 years and you don't know when God speaks to you, my friend, there is a problem, and you have to go purify the mind. You have to go purify the heart. Get into a place where you are listening and becoming sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I know some of the things I'm saying today is harsh, but I have to say this because people have to start thinking, why after 10 years or more of salvation do I still not know the voice of God? That's scary. That is, for me,
like
extremely
people
scary.
Saying today they don't even hear their own father speaking to them today.
Yes.
How sad is that? You can't even hear your own dad speak to you. That's crazy.
You have to hear the voice of God. Psalms 119, verse 9. And this is an awesome verse if you want to learn how to purify yourself. How can a young man cleanse his ways?
Yeah.
When we're talking about purity. How can I cleanse my heart? How can I cleanse my mind and my lifestyle? Here, how can a young man cleanse his way? And it says, by taking heed according to your word. That is the recipe for living a pure lifestyle, yeah. Is getting accustomed to the word of God. Cleaning out. If the more I read the word of God and I get revelation of what he wants from me, I can go and clean up my walk and walk daily. Yes, I know the Lord cleanses us. Please don't misunderstand me. God cleanses us. But I cannot get cleaned if I don't take the step of faith and actually start doing something about it. I have to walk the walk. I have to live my life. I have to live by faith. I have to live in the Word. I have to build myself up and I have to cleanse my way so that God can use me.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. I hope you guys are enjoying this. Just throw a thumbs up or something if you're enjoying what I'm teaching today. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Remember, we're speaking about the purity of mind. How do I do that? How do I purify my mind? I have to take hold. I have to capture every evil thought in my mind and I have to bring it into the obedience of Christ. How many times have we, and I'm guilty of this too, no one's perfect, but how many times has the enemy, how many times has Satan put an evil thought in your mind, be it perverse, be it greed, be it whatever, I don't know, violence, whatever it is, how many times when that thought is placed in our minds do we entertain it over and over and over again, and it's like you go down the storyline in your head of entertaining evil thoughts, and that's when the Bible says don't entertain those thoughts. Don't do that. Grab every thought, grab it, and let it submit under the obedience of Christ. Remember, Satan speaks in our head. Just because you had an evil thought, doesn't mean you sinned. That's the one thing people need to understand. Because a lot of people think that there was an evil thought and, oh, I must be sinful. No, Satan speaks in your head. It's when you entertain that thought and that thought becomes a reality that then there's a problem. Mm-hmm. I cannot entertain thoughts because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is, which means thoughts become reality. Thoughts are playing in your mind, and eventually, if you entertain it long enough, it's gonna manifest in the physical.
Yeah.
I have to allow God to cleanse my mind. So every time I see something in my head that I'm not supposed to see, I say, I know Satan, I know what you're trying to do. And I bind that thought right now in the name of Jesus. I bind that image right now in the name of Jesus. I take hold of it and I cast it out of my mind right now in Jesus' name. And then it leaves you. And then you think of godly things. And even if we look, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Satan's going to always put things in your mind that is contrary to the word of God. How do you know it's Satan speaking to you? It's contrary to the word of God. If it's not of God, and he will also, I'm not just talking about, you know, sinful thoughts, but there are other thoughts that can also corrupt our minds. Thoughts and arguments about the word of God. When a pastor makes a statement or he said something and that statement is of God but offended you, then you entertain that thought, you get angry, and then again, that thought in your mind eventually drops to your heart and it starts to corrupt your spirit. And that's a scary thing.
That's true.
And when it starts corrupting your spirit, then we are easily manipulated by Satan. But if I say, all right, Pastor, I heard what you said that, you know, it feels like it offended me a little bit, but I'm going to go meditate on this. I'm going to allow the Lord to speak to me through what was taught this morning. I'm going to allow the Lord to speak to me. Then you go read scriptures. You go study it. And you take that argument that the devil wanted to put in your mind. And then You say, no, I'm not going to listen to the argument side. I'm going to listen to the word side. Let's go get into the word. Lord, give me revelation on what was spoken. And first reveal to me truth before I'm going to get into argument, before I'm going to get offended. Let me first see what was said was truthful, that which was, if it was real. And then if you find in the word of God, wow, you know, instead of, you know, a lot of people, oh, that's not in the Bible. Go study and find out for yourself.
That's right.
And if you find revelation concerning that, then you can say, well, I'm glad I didn't, you know, lash out. I'm glad I didn't get offended. I'm glad I didn't, because I was wrong and the pastor was right. And it's so easy for us to lash out. I'm not just speaking about the word. This thing you can take in any area of your life. It's so quickly for us to respond and just get angry, and we didn't even go check, but was it true?
Yeah.
And we have to go and allow the Lord to cleanse our minds, cleanse our thoughts. Do you want to add on to thoughts?
Yeah, I was just thinking, this popped into my spirit, that thoughts are visions of what is to come.
Hmm.
That was the wording that came in my heart. Thoughts are visions of what is to come. So if you have bad thoughts, it's a vision of negative things. Then the moment you entertain that thought, you begin to speak that thought.
So true.
That vision that you had is going to come. So I'm mad at somebody, and I walk around with this anger and bitterness. So Satan throws that. Do you remember what they did to you? And if you take that and you entertain that and you speak it, then the vision will be, I'm going to have revenge. I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to get mad. That's actually the vision that was created through the thought.
Yeah.
And now when you give birth to that, destruction will come.
Yeah.
You know. And so we need to guard our hearts. It's a very good word, Stephen.
Thank you.
Of what we have to do constantly. Listen, we're going to battle with this,
and this is
until
what I said.
Jesus
it's,
comes.
It's something we as Christians need to remain
every
aware of.
Every day.
Because so many people avoid these topics. And it's important to speak about purity. It's important to speak about... Well, I have four more points to get into, and obviously no time today.
We'll do it two, gonna, 3 weeks. Doesn't matter.
But
it's a good word.
Look at this. I started off with heart for a reason, because the most important thing is to keep your heart pure, because it flows. My heart is pure, my mind is pure, my deeds remain pure.
Yeah.
The moment my heart is polluted, the moment my heart is contaminated with evil things, I start entertaining evil thoughts in my mind. And the moment I entertain evil thoughts in my mind, it turns into evil deeds. So it's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You'll find that. Go look at people that you can know have a pure heart. You find that they serve the Lord. They don't allow this. Yes, we all make mistakes. No one's perfect. But you'll find that they more consistently walk in purity than impurity. But it's because the heart is clean. And then the thought pattern is clean. And then my lifestyle is clean. Which leads me to point number three. And we need the purity of deeds. The purity of the way we walk with the Lord. Physical. Walk with the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 verse 21. And I'm going to end on this last purity today, and then we can step into the second thing to be aware of tomorrow. So 2 Timothy 2 verse 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. How many times do we pray that? If you ever go into prayer room with my dad and I, if I pray in the secret place, you will always find that I always say, Lord, clean me. May I be, let me be a clean vessel for you to use. And that's this verse that comes into manifestation. God doesn't go and he takes dirty vessels and put them on display. No, God cleans us. God cleans us. And when you're cleaned, he uses us. That's when God uses us. You'll find, I want to say, this topic has been corrupted in the kingdom of God, where people don't say clean vessels are used by God. It's now any vessel is used by God. And now anything goes, as long as you just say yes to God, and then you can continue doing what you're doing, and then God will use you. No, clean vessels are used by God. If you want to flow in the anointing and the power of God, you have to be a clean vessel. I'm not talking about talking on a platform. Anyone can talk on a platform.
Mm.
It's very easy. anyone can get knowledge and go stand on a platform and say whatever lays is laid on their heart, whatever. Anyone can say anything. It's not difficult to say something. But to walk in power, to walk in humility, to walk in strength and pureness of God, I have to obviously walk the right path. I have to cleanse myself in this walk. Go look at great ministers of God. I'm talking about great ministers of God. And this is going to be a clear golden thread in their teachings. To be clean and be used by God. I hope you guys are understanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to be used by God. I'm saying let God cleanse you and then be used by God. Let God clean you every day and say, Father, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all righteousness. So when I, before I ever preach, before I ever step onto a pulpit, I say, Lord, cleanse me.
Right.
May I be a clean vessel. No corruptness, no pollution, no nothing inside of this body. A clean heart, Father, that I may hear from you tonight, that you may flow through me tonight, Lord, because I don't want anything to be in the way of what you want to accomplish through me in the mighty name of Jesus. And so you can do this in your everyday walk with the Lord. Say, Father, I'm going to go to work right now. I'm going to go give it my all. But I ask you, Lord, that you cleanse me, that people might see the goodness of God inside of me, that people might see the light inside of me. I don't want people to see darkness inside of me.
Amen.
I want people to see light. I want to reflect who you are. Lord, I want to be the mirror image of you. Like Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Lord, I want to be that for a world out there, that when people look at me, they see a mirror reflection of Jesus himself. I want that for my life. I don't want this corruption inside of me. I want to live pure and holy before you, Father, that I may be clean and useful for you in the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 5 verse 22 says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. I'm going to read it again. 1 Timothy 5 verse 22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. If you go study 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you'll find Paul is writing to a young man that wants to be used by God. That's all purpose. It's a letter to Timothy to encourage him, a young evangelist, and he's saying, go, I want you to go, but here are all the things if you want to be used by God. Go, if you want to be used by God, go study 1st and 2nd Timothy, and you'll find it's all about pure living, it's all about holiness, and it's all about keeping your heart open to be used by God, getting into the Word, studying, all of those wonderful things. And we need to have this as a fundamental part of our lives, to remain pure before the Lord and not let sin corrupt us. Don't open your life to sin, but stay pure in the Lord. Don't fall into sin. Because the moment you fall into sin, it's that ripple effect. If I sin today, it's easier to sin tomorrow. Don't fall into that trap. Remain pure every day so that you can be used effectively for God and His kingdom.
I think the greatest example I can put to what Stephen is a teaching, and if I can speak in picture form, is how many of you love a beautiful garden?
Yeah.
Have you ever walked into a place, a house, where the garden is just meticulously beautiful, clean, well manicured, you know, everything is in order and clean and shiny. And then you will find somewhere in that beautiful garden is a man or a woman that is on their knees working somewhere, busy pulling out weeds, busy trimming the grass, you know, cutting off those leaves and dead branches. And to maintain a beautiful manicured garden is a you know, 12-hour a day work every day. And it's not just in one portion of the garden, you have to maintain the whole garden. So you get what I'm saying, is that we have to constantly get rid of the weeds that grow in us.
Yes.
The weeds of our heart, the weeds of our thoughts, the weeds of our deeds.
Yeah.
We have to keep on cleaning, getting rid of the thoughts that is hindering us. And then when you think that section is clean, then comes the mouth, you know, and we begin to have to weed the mouth because of the words that we speak and the destruction. And then comes the deeds, you know, watching that porn on TV or doing something, you know. We find these things are constantly attacking us, constantly hitting us. And then we have to go back and do the basics. 1 John 1:9. Father, I did something I know that was wrong. Your Holy Spirit convicted me. I'm going to weed this out of my life. I'm going to pull this stuff out. And I repent of it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And that God comes and he just manicures that garden. And in the cool of the day, like with Adam, the Lord will come and walk and talk with you.
Yes.
Amen. And he'll spend that time because the most beautiful garden there was the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
And God walked in the cool of the day with Adam every day speaking to him. Amen. Amen. Purity of the heart.
Purity of the heart. And that's if I can sum it up today's session, and this can become the prayer of your heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart that I might be a good representative of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So the world, when the world looks at me, they do not see me, but they see Christ in me. And that is my prayer for all of you. And take that to become daily in you. Clean me, God, that I might reflect you in the right way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
You can make a difference by partnering with us, a ministry with a heart for the lost, by visiting our website, www.dionhockey.org. You will also receive exclusive content from the ministry as a thank you from Pastor Dion Hockey. Remember to subscribe and follow our social media pages for updates, sermons, and more information on the ministry. Thank you for listening and see you next time.